All right, how many of y'all are competitive people? How many of y'all are competitive? Jen's competitive. You see her? She's like waving. I said, who's competitive? Anyone's competitive? All right, competitive. How many of y'all are not competitive? You don't care. Yeah, right. JR, yeah, right. How many of y'all, the competitive people, just rub you wrong some of the times? George, shout out to your hands. All right, so I don't know if y'all are familiar with the Strengths Finder. Have you ever done Strengths Finder before? So it's like your top five strengths. So it, back in grad school, I did mine. It was achiever, learner, responsibility, relator, and competition. When I read it, I felt so sinful. Like the day, I was like, oh my gosh, this is like horrible. I'm like, oh man. And I was like so convicted. And I really had to like begin to rethink like what is competition, because most things I put myself to, I'm really good. Like I beat JR all the time at basketball. I'm just kidding. Now JR is like the Filipino Kobe Bryant. There he is. He's really good. He's really good. So I'm used to winning a lot, and you know what would be really bad is I'd have a bad attitude when I was losing. And the Holy Spirit, I lose at cribbage to my father-in-law sometimes, but I've gotten better at losing to him the majority of the time. I beat him one time. Ander beat us last time. Man, and the Holy Spirit really had to like redefine for me like what is winning, because I was so competitive and it was so rooted in pride. And what the Holy Spirit began to show me, it's not winning, it's how you play. And it's how you win, or it's how you lose. And so Jesus had to take me through this whole process of redefining, like, hey, when I win by having a great game. So when JR and I and our team loses on the basketball court, which happened one time, I evaluate it by how did I encourage my team and how did I encourage the other team when they were doing well. And so God had to take me through this process of redefining competition. Because you know what was at the core of me winning? Was me feeling good about myself for my identity. So I was getting my worth, value, and significance by winning. When I win, I feel good. When I'm better than someone else, I feel really good. So the Holy Spirit began to, like an onion, right? Unlayer these onions of where was I getting my identity? Where was my worth, my value, my significance? Where was I getting my love from? And that was what was defining me. So I had to go through this redefining process of my identity. So we got to ask ourselves the question, what source is your identity? What source is your identity? So let's jump into 1 John here in chapter 2. We'll read verses 15 through 17 together. It says, do not love this world, nor the things it offers you. For when you love the world, you do not have the love of the Father in you. For the world offers only a craving for physical pleasure, a craving for everything we see, the pride in our achievements and possessions. These are not from the Father, but are from the world. And the world is fading away along with everything that people crave. But anyone who does what pleases God will live forever. Do you see the draw of the world? It says, let me define you. Let your achievements define you. Let your possessions define you. Let your wins define you. Let your relationships define you. Let your cravings define you. The world says, allow me to define you and I'll tell you who you are. I'll tell you where you get your worth. So where you draw your identity really matters. Where you draw your identity matters, because what you feed on for your identity, it'll feed your soul. And what you feed your soul will produce your thoughts, it'll produce your feelings, and ultimately produce your actions. So when we feed on the world, I mean, let's all be real. Like, the world has a lot to offer, right? It's deceptive, but it has a lot to offer. I mean, think about the entertainment. How many did something entertaining in this past week? How many of y'all watched a show or a movie, right? So that was there. How many of y'all got some type of stimulation? How many of you ate ice cream? I ate a ton of ice cream this week. I sat with a carton eating it. Like, I really had chocolate. It was so good. Yeah. Achievement. If you hit this degree, how many of y'all got degrees? How many of y'all are getting degrees? How many of y'all are just really good at something in your life, right? That's an achievement, right? Achievement in your life. How many of y'all escape? Like, I'll be real, like alcohol, drugs, pornography, relationships. I mean, how many of y'all escaped in the past week, right? What's going on there? How many of y'all gave yourself a star this week because you were significant for doing something? You did something and you felt significant. So what is drawing you to define your identity from those different veins? And there's a lot more of them, right? We can name a ton more. But where are you drawing your source, your identity? It will actually reveal where your brokenness is. Because your brokenness wants to get loved. And if you're turning to all these things, all these different sources that the world offers, and it's feeding that, it's actually revealing what's broken in your heart, what Jesus hasn't healed yet, what the love of the Father has not permeated and transformed. So those things of the world, they're not going to be pulling on you anymore. What's really intense about this verse, it says the love of the world and the love in the Father cannot coexist together. So if you love the world, can the love of the Father live in you? I mean, the scripture is really challenging. It says this can't happen. So we have to be honest with ourselves. Are there things of the world that we love, that we put before the Father and His love in our lives? Are we going to these things before we go to the Father, right? Are we unlocking our phone? Are we doom scrolling, right? No, just Richie's always like, doom scroll, right? The doom scroll. Like, when you literally, like, think about it. What stimulation are you getting from it? What significance? I confessed over here, like, and I'm really giving it up. Like, I just scrolled a little bit, and Emery had mentioned World War II, and I like World War II history, and guess what started showing up on my phone? World War II history! I read some of these articles, like, oh, this is so cool. I look 20 minutes later, I'm like, I just wasted 20 minutes of my life. I'm like, I'm done. Right, so what are these things that are your soul is being drawn to, your soul's wanting to consume in you? So what is it for you, right? Is it screen time? Is it whatever it is? I named a whole bunch of things earlier. That you consume to get your significance. But think about this. I'm going to contrast the word consume. How much of the presence of the Father do you receive? So consume is about you. It's selfish. It's self-centered. But when you receive, you're receiving grace. You're receiving a gift. The Father doesn't want you to consume. He wants you to receive. Because all y'all who believe in Jesus, you're daughters and sons of the Heavenly Father. You don't have to achieve. You don't have to perform. You don't have to do these things to get the love of the Father. Did y'all see the little guy here, Nicholas, what he was doing earlier? Do you know what he was doing? He was just hanging out. And he wasn't doing anything. He was not achieving anything for anyone. But when y'all looked at him, y'all were smiling. Right? And that's how the Father sees you. You don't need to perform or achieve for Him. He just says, be my daughter. Be my son. Sit with me. Be in my presence. And that's where you're going to find your identity. That's where you're going to find your significance, your worth, and your value. Because here's the deal. You're all going to fail. Like, you're all going to fail hard in your life. And stuff's going to fall apart. You're going to have broken relationships. You're not going to hit your goal. You're not going to get that whatever it is, right? And that's going to reveal where you're sourcing your love from. But when that stuff hits your life and you can get on your knees before the Father and say, Father, it hurts, it stings, and I can see you're pruning me. I want your love more than I want fill in the blank. So when you read the scripture, it says at the end of this stuff, at the end of time, all this stuff's going to be removed. It's going to fade away. And you know what this is in front of us? A lot of this is, it's a giant facade. So Satan has created the world system to get you away from one thing. Do you want to know what that one thing is? Making disciples. Because if he can get you to live for yourself with this facade and everything that you want to do for your life and etc. Do you know how many hundreds and thousands of people will not come to know Jesus through your life? So hundreds and thousands of people. But if you can break the facade off and get your love from the Father, and he'll say, hey, my son, you know what he told you? He said, go make disciples in nations. This means that you actively share Jesus with your voice. So hear this, because this is a big lie that's been sold to the church. Being a nice person is not being a disciple. Right? So if you're a nice person to people, that's cultural. It's a world system. But if you are actively sharing your story, how Jesus is transforming you with your voice, you are sharing about Jesus' life, death, and resurrection, and you're sharing about how someone can believe in Jesus and start a relationship with Him where He becomes their Lord, their Savior, and their friend, that's the one thing that Satan wants to stop the most from your life. Because if you don't open your mouth and share Jesus, all those people are still going to hell. But if you open your mouth and you share the gospel, everybody has a chance who hears what you say to know Jesus. So the facade will be removed, Satan's deception will be removed, and everybody's going to have a big awakening. Some people will already know, and like, I knew that. Some people will like, I live my whole life under this facade. And what it says in here is that obedience to God will lead to true life. So if you're obedient to Jesus with your life, with what he says in the scriptures and how the Spirit leads you, you're going to have a life that's worth living. You're going to be fulfilled and full of joy. But if you go the other way, you're going to have a life that's unfulfilled. So what source is your identity? I used to play a lot of video games. Like, a lot of video games. So every day after work, this is in college, I get off work, and I'd play for like 2 or 3 hours. I'd play on the weekends. I played Battlefield. If you don't play Battlefield at all. Like, that was my game. Yeah, I saw some hands. And no, yeah, so like my spouse does, right? And I realized my life was getting sucked into this thing. And one day, and I was also Halo too, by the way. I was playing Halo, and I thought God confronted me. He said, get this out of your life. I'm like, the controller, the video game, the console, everything. Get rid of it. And I had a choice. I can choose to be obedient and get rid of the Xbox, or I can choose to be disobedient and go my own way, harden my heart, and keep doing it. You want to know what I did? Got rid of that thing. That was hard. JR. Aww. I source so much of my identity, worth, and value from playing video games. And Jesus said, that's enough. You got to cut it off and find it from the true source. Find it in my love. Years later, someone offered me an Xbox. And I was like, oh no. I was like, let me pray. And I felt like God said, you can have it back. But now you know how to use it properly in your life. Now I don't even have time for video games. Y'all, if you've been to my house, you see my Xbox. But I don't ever play it because I don't have time. I got things more important. I got my kids, my wife. I got you guys, right? Making disciples, training church planters to plant churches. So the things I used to source my significance from are no longer important because Jesus has become more important and most important. So let's look at 3:1 here. See how very much our Father loves us, for he calls us his children, and that is who we are. But the people who belong to the world don't recognize that we are God's children because they don't know him. So if you believe in Jesus, your identity is sourced from the Father's love. The Father's lavished so much love on you that he calls you his daughter. He calls you his son. And it's in his embrace that you will find your greatest worth, your greatest value, and your greatest significance. But the thing is if you got all the, you're holding all these things in your arms. Have you ever tried to hug someone that has their backpack on their, like their chest, they're wearing it backwards? Kind of hard to hug them. In the same way, if you're sourcing all of your significance, worth, and value from entertainment, simulation, achievement, escape, significance, all these other things, right? How is the Father going to hug you if all this stuff's between you and him? He says, you got to drop that stuff so I can embrace you fully. I can hug you and you know and you feel my love. If you saw in here, the word see and behold, that's actually an experience in the Greek. See, behold, you actually experience the love of the Father. For me, everything changed when I had an encounter with God. Because I knew a lot about God. Because remember, following Jesus is not about knowledge. Following Jesus is about obedience. So discipleship is not knowledge-based, it's obedience-based. When I had this encounter with God, I've had a few of them in my journey. The one that really changed it for me was when I was actually in grad school at APU. And you might have heard some of this story, but I was sitting in grad class and this voice, whatever voice it was, spoke to me and said, fast for 7 days. And I was like, well, what voice was that? I never fasted 7 days. And I was like, well, I don't think Satan would want me to fast because that brings me closer to God. So I guess it's you, God. So I'm going to eat a ton of food for 7 days so I can like prepare because I'd never done this. And then I started my 7-day fast. And it was on day 3 or 4, my friend sat with me and she said this to me. She said, Jared, you're prideful. And I said, what? I'm prideful? She said, yeah, you're prideful. And she began to just share things. And I was like, okay, I am prideful. I didn't know that. It's only when someone confronts you or God himself confronts you, you'll see what pride you have in your life, in your heart. Because pride is deceptive. You can't see it until it's pointed out or until it hits you in the face. And she said, Jared, God's going to test you. And I said, okay, what's he want to do? She said, you need to go to everybody you sin against in your pride and ask them to pray for you. That was a big list. Wrote a big list. And I did it. It was really humiliating. I guess, you know, humiliating, right? So he's going to humiliate us to bring us low so he can then lift us up. After I finished my fast, the young adults pastor of the church was like, hey, will you share about this with the young adults group? I said, sure. So I just shared my story, I shared with you. And I sat down in the chair afterwards. And I had this encounter with God. the best way I can describe it to you is I saw the depths of my sinfulness before a holy God. I can't put it in words beyond that, but I experienced it. And I realized how much sin I had in my life. And then I had this other experience right after that. The love of the Father came on me. And it was, I've never done drugs or anything like that, but I figured if like people mixed all these crazy drugs together and took them, the amount of high you would get off of it, like the love of the Father was better than that. And his love came in me and I said, oh, this is what relationship is like. And it's when we have that encounter with God, everything changes. When it goes from a head knowledge relationship, or just like I know about this God named Jesus, to like, I receive you, consume me with your love. Because he wants you to have an encounter with him, because he wants you to know he's real. He's a real God, a real person, fully God, fully human. And when you have that encounter, and it's okay to ask God for encounters, because you look from Genesis to Revelation, people have encounters with God in every book of the Bible. So asking God for an encounter to hear his voice, to know his presence, is totally biblical and totally normal. And he invites you into it. So he calls you his son or his daughter. This means that you're part of God's family. If you look around our family here, our spiritual family, we're a really interesting group of people. But we're a spiritual family, right? And it's the love that binds us together. Hear this spoken over your life as the Father is speaking to you. You're accepted. You're valued. You're loved. And you're good enough. That is the Father's voice over you through Jesus. So God's love fulfills your eternal created need. God's love fulfills your eternal created need. Apart from God's love, we'll always be empty sojourners looking for something. And only an experience or encounter with God can give you this understanding. If you've never had that encounter with God, I would encourage you, like tonight, if you're able, like get on your knees. Like literally last night, Meredith and I were worshiping, downloaded the new Upper Room CD from this past April, just threw it on. We didn't know any of the words, so I didn't know what to sing. But what I did is I got my mat out that you should pray on. One of those really thick mats you get from Costco, you stand at to wash dishes with, so it's like 2 inches. And I just get on my knees and I get on my face for like an hour and a half. And you know what happened? His presence came. It was powerful. Humility will attract the presence of God. So when you get on your face before Jesus, he's gonna come. Humility draws him in, it draws his presence. So encountering God's love will change you. Let's look at 3:2. Dear friends, we'll look at 3. We already are God's children, but he has not yet shown us what we will be like when Christ appears. But we do know that we'll be like him, for we'll see him as he really is. And all who have this eager expectation will keep themselves pure, just as he is pure. Have you ever been in the store, been shopping or somewhere, and you're like, I could see Jesus in that person? Like you could feel his love or see his presence on them? That's how it is. When you have Jesus in you, you're going to begin to recognize Jesus in other people. You're going to recognize the other sons and gods because we're a spiritual family. And you'll be able to recognize who doesn't know Jesus. And that's an indicator of like, man, I got to go share with that person about his love so they can know it too. You say when you notice what it says, when you see Jesus, when you experience Jesus, you'll be like him. So this is talking about the end of time. When everything wraps up, you're gonna see Jesus. But did you know you can see Jesus before that time? Like you could see him, and when you see him, he's gonna change you. So when you see Jesus, he's gonna transform you from the inside out. So experiencing Jesus changes you. How many of y'all know Jesus is coming back? Like, he's going to come back. He's going to judge the earth. Everyone that believes in Jesus is under his blood is going to go through God's judgment, getting through to eternal salvation. Those who haven't are going to be under God's eternal judgment, right, for eternity. And that's really bad. And that's why we got to share Jesus with people as much as possible so they can escape that. Here's the thing. It says, keep yourself pure. The reason this is all connected is because there's accountability. Jesus is coming back, and he's holding everybody accountable. Like, if you did all these great things for God, right? Remember, people are like, Jesus, I healed people, I cast out demons, I did all this crazy stuff. And he's like, I don't even know you, get away from me. Right? Everyone's going to be held accountable for what's in our heart, what's in us, and what we do with our lives. So he says, God, let God's accountability come and encourage you to be pure as He is pure. You know, if you look at the context of all this, do you know what He's wanting to be pure from? The influence of the world. Because the love of the Father and the love of the world cannot coexist. If the love of the Father is in you, it's going to keep you pure, and it's going to be like bug repellent. You know these bugs we got out here, putting on the bug repellent? His presence, His love is going to repel the world, but you're not going to want to consume the world. You're going to want to receive His presence. So catch this. This is significant. The world's goal is to contaminate your identity and to get you to believe lies about the Father, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit. So the world's goal is to contaminate you, to get you to believe lies about who the Father really is. Because if you think the Father, if you think God is angry at you or hates you or doesn't want anything to do with you, that's a total lie. 1 John 3:1 says, "How great is the love the Father has lavished on you, that you should be called His daughter, His son, and this is who you really are." Right? So that's what God's Word says. God's Word will always lead you into truth. How many of y'all are familiar with the former head of the Satanic Church in South Africa? Yeah, there's a few people who've watched his videos. He's on YouTube. He's like 3 years out of the head of the Satanic Church in South Africa. You could watch his testimony. Meredith and I watched it. Totally legit. I'd encourage you to watch it. His name's Rion. This dude, if you're the head of the Satanic Church in a country, you know you're up there and you've done some stuff, right? And you've seen some things. This guy was performing a ritual for certain things. And you know what happened in this dark room when he was performing a ritual? He was going for something very significant. There's like spotlights turned on in the room. And you know what happened? A man appeared. Do you know who the man was? It was Jesus. He showed up, and as he was putting the pentagram together with all this other crazy stuff. And you know what Jesus appeared to him as? A normal person. Nothing flashy. And you know what Jesus did to him, did to Rion? He flooded him with His love. And Rion said he was consumed with the love of God, and it radically changed him. So did you know Jesus can show up to a Satanist in the middle of a Satanist ritual and flood them with love and transform their life where they leave Satanism, and now they have a call in their life to get people out of Satanism, the occult, that they would know the love of Jesus? He said before that happened, it was within a week or two before that happened, or 3 weeks, he had done an interview and he met this woman in the interview. You know what she did to him? She hugged him. And she held him. And you know what he said in that moment? He felt something different. He felt love. He said the same love he felt in the room with Jesus was the same love he felt in that hug. It was the love of Jesus in that woman who was willing to love a Satanist. And Jesus radically transformed him. So you're getting, hopefully you're getting the theme of this, is the encountering the love of Jesus will radically change you. It'll change your life. And love prevails over everything, over all forms of darkness. No matter how far you are from God, whatever's happened to you or you've done, love will prevail. Love will consume that thing in a good way, like a consuming fire, and burn it up. And you'll know His deep love for you. But here's the thing, you got to receive it. Right? You got to receive His love. Because He's just waiting for you. You got to open your heart. You got to open your hands. Like when we worship here in the park, I see people's hands are open. You know what that means? I'm receiving. It's a posture receiving. But if you have your hands and closed and your fists are closed, it's hard for His love to wiggle in. It can get in. If it can get to a Satanist, it can get in anything, right? But He wants you to be able to receive His love, to open your heart and your hands to Him. Now, how many of you know you're special? But why are you special? I'm going to pass something out. So as you're finishing this book, yeah, You Are Special by Max Lucado. This page here, page 26, really spoke to me in my fast when I was reading this. It was Punchinello. He just sat there, and the father loved on him. And in the same way as a daughter or a son of the Father, like, you just got to receive His love. But Punchinello had to go to the house, right? He had to go to the house of the Father to receive His love. He gave up all the stickers, all the achievements and the dots and the stars. And he's like, all right, I want to see this Father. Is He real? And His love is real. So in the same way that this is a story, it represents you. More likely than not, all of us here, we got stars and dots on us, right? And we probably have our own little carton of stars and dots we put on people. But what the Father invites you to do is simply just give up your cartons of stars and dots from yourself, putting them on other people or getting them from other people, and simply just come and sit in His presence. He wants to take off your stars, your achievements and stuff. He wants to take them off. Your dots, the things that people have said to you or Satan said to you, you believe, He wants to take those off too. So that you don't have anything that sticks on you, but all you have is His love. So the Father invites you into His love. And to know that you and your identity is sourced in His love as a daughter or as a son. As we finish our time, Anthony's going to come and just share a brief story of Jesus' love in his life. And then we'll close our time in prayer. All right, so I get to share with you guys my story. I grew up in church and didn't really know I was a son, kind of like we're talking about. But what Jared's talking about today really resonates with me, because going through high school, I was like a straight A student. I was really good at math and I got all these stars, right? I was like, oh yeah, I can keep performing and I keep getting my identity, you know, from all these affirmations and people. And then I went to graduate school and studied math. I was like, this is a good thing. I'm just gonna keep doing this, keep getting my identity. And it was brutal. It was so hard. I was at the bottom of the totem pole and God just like ripped that thing out of my life. And it was like, oh man, there's this giant hole inside me, super painful. But God took me on a long journey of saying, hey, you had this thing that was feeding you. Now, where are you gonna get that? And so it was this journey of, okay, getting with Him and figuring out, hey, who am I really? How do I really get identity? The good news is that you don't have to wait until God rips it off your life. You can decide, right? Like hearing this message, reading this book, you know what? I'm going to go straight to the source. I'm going to go straight to the Father, straight to Jesus, and get that for myself. Because it's amazing. Like when you're free of those dots, it's like, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if I stand up here and I say something dumb or anything, right? Because I know who I am and whose I am. So I want to give you an invitation this morning, you know, whether you know the Lord already or whether you don't, there's an invitation for you. You know, Jesus lived a perfect life, died on the cross. He rose again, took all our sin on Him so that we could live free and we could live forever with Him. So I'm just going to pray briefly, and I invite you to just pray in your heart along with me. If this resonates with you, if you want to connect with the Father again today. So Jesus, we thank You that You came and You made a way to the Father. Lord, we repent this morning for choosing to believe what the world says about us, partnering with the world rather than coming to You and hearing what You say about us. So I choose today to come to You, Jesus, as my source, to come to You, Father, through Jesus, and get my identity from You. I choose to follow You, and I choose to spend that time with You, hearing Your voice, and hearing who I am from You. So we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. So before you go, if you want prayer, we'd love to have you get some prayer. We'll have our prayer team up here. They'll be wearing name tags. I got them for our team. So you'll know who you can get prayer from. They'll be over here. Just come get prayer. I know that everyone here is a human. Y'all got issues. So please come get prayer over things you need prayer for and get loved on by God through God's people. So I'll just echo that amen Anthony's prayer and say, see you Friday at my house for prayer and fasting, 7 p.m. Otherwise, in and out next week after church. Yeah. All right, there's some. All right, crew. Yeah.